Could you just begin by saying your name?
Julia Doane.
Okay, Julia. Let's go back to the very beginning in your childhood. How did you first get interested in mathematics and computing? Was it something that came as a result of your family experience?
Partly. I enjoyed maths at school. Well, in primary school, I particularly enjoyed the logic puzzles that we had to do for the 11 plus. And I think I was reasonably good at the arithmetic. Also, on my father's side, my father had studied maths at Cambridge during the war, and his younger brother also studied maths at Cambridge, and he was a maths teacher. My father had gone into electrical engineering, but there was always that family background. So when I went to secondary school, I didn't like school at all, but I was probably top of my class in a lot of the subjects. And I was very keen on languages and Latin and Greek, which I was lucky enough to do, and maths. So when it came to A-level, I had a difficult choice to make. And in the end, I thought, well, there's no... What are the jobs for people who do classics? I didn't know anything about careers for them. All I could see was teaching. I thought, I know I don't want to do that. Mm. So I'll do maths instead at for A-levels. And so I did start doing English as well, but I found it was too much with double maths and physics, so I dropped the English. Also, my school wasn't really set up for allowing mixture across the... I was in the science sixth, which was very small and not very well catered for.
Where were you at school?
I was at a girls' private or public school called St. Helens in Northwood in Middlesex. And I was a boarder there from the age of 10, and that's probably why I really didn't like school. I didn't like the boarding at all. So I spent quite a lot of time in the library, and that was... because I wasn't any good at sport, apart from swimming, and I was a bit teased, probably, wearing glasses and being, you know, known as brainy. So I spent a lot of time in the library, and at some point I found this little book, which was about electronic computers, which I knew nothing about at all. Because this must have been about 1963 or 4. Mm. So they weren't really very well known at that time. And I really enjoyed this book, and I did these sort of questions. I think there may have been questions in it, but I understood about the gates. It told me about the basic... components that made up a computer in those days, and how to do arithmetic, and about binary arithmetic, and that really, really took my interest very much. There was nothing else that I could do about it, but I did enjoy it a lot, and I thought, well, that might be something really interesting to do. So when I, in those days, you took A-levels, and if you wanted to do Oxford and Cambridge entrance, you would stay on into the next autumn term. So there were just two of us at my school who did that, me and a friend who was going for history, and so we did those exams in about November, and I could leave school at the beginning of December, and I got a job. I was very lucky to get a job as a pre-university trainee at Marconi Company. They had a scheme for... It was supposed to be there for the whole year before you went to university, and they would probably fund you through university. I'm not sure about that. Anyway, they allowed me to join this just for some months.
How did you know it was available?
I can't remember. My father at that time was working for the English Electric Valve Company in Chelmsford, and Marconi had some premises in Chelmsford, various locations, and I think they were related companies. You may know about
this. Well, they merged later. Well, as far as the computer part went, they merged later on, English Electric, Leo Marconi.
Yes. Did you write a book about
it? I wrote a little book about Leo. So it comes just right at the end.
I'd be very interested to see that.
Oh,
so I'll look out for it. Get a copy.
I mean, you probably won't find it in a shop, but you could order it online.
Yes, I'll do that.
Or you could order it through a bookshop.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm not quite sure, but Dad might have known about it, or it's possible that he had a work colleague whose daughter had gone to Cambridge to read maths. She'd been at Chelmsford High School for Girls, and she may have been on this course. I really can't remember now, but anyway, I was lucky to get this job, and I had to do 4 weeks in the metal workshop, made a radio and the metal box for it out of transistors. And then I did 4 weeks in a drawing office school. I enjoyed that. And then I went and joined the research labs of Marconi at Great Baddo. And they had a deuce, which I think is pretty one of the fairly early computers in this country.
Yes, but it came after the ACE, didn't it?
Yes.
NPL.
I was in an office with I think three other women, older women, who were all programmers. And they looked after me a lot, so I learnt to program the deuce in Alpha Code, which is pretty low level.
Yes.
But that was great. I really enjoyed that, and I enjoyed being with these women. They were very nice to me.
So you never had any sense, presumably, that computing was not a thing for women to do, because you had women around you doing it from the start.
Well, I think there was still the idea that these women were in their own office and they were a bit separate from... None of the bosses were women anyway. So I think...
Was computing programming seen as a relatively low-level...
I think it possibly was.
Activity, clerical sort of activity.
Yes. I had the impression then that... people thought it was to do with languages, and girls had language skills, and that was why they would be suitable for programming, for coding. That's just a very subjective idea that I had. There was a department, possibly of English Electric, out at Rittle. And they had a bigger computer, and there were phone lines. You could phone into this. And it was a Leo computer, and if you got in really early in the morning, you had to bag the phone lines so that no one else could get them. And so if you needed access to this bigger, better machine, you could do that. So that was all quite fun. I was only there a few months because in May I went off to Norway to work in a hotel for the summer. But during that time that I was there, a new computer was installed for this establishment at Rittle. And that was a KDF9, and it was very exciting. There was something we never heard of called an operating system. We all said, oh, why do you need an operating system? What on earth is that for? So we had some talks about that. It was called POST. And we were able to submit ALGOL programs to the KDF9, I think on punch cards.
So did you learn ALGOL in order to do that?
Yes. So I learned ALGOL. That was ALGOL 60. Oh, and also as part of the trainee scheme, I was sent on a day release to the technical college in Chelmsford, where we learnt COBOL. Again, that was punch cards. You submitted them, and there was sort of a week or 2 weeks turnaround.
Mm. So just within these few months, you had three computing languages, programming languages under your belt.
Well, I don't know how competent I was in them, but I certainly got experience in them.
Yeah.
We did Fortran as well.
Oh, right, four, okay.
Yes. So, that was great. So then I knew that that was something I was really interested in.
Mm.
There wasn't any opportunity to pursue it as an undergraduate at Oxford.
Well, tell me how you came to choose Oxford. Was that just something the school steered you to?
Well, my dad had been at Cambridge, and in those days you could take the exams, the entrance exams, for both Oxford and Cambridge. So I did that. I went to Cambridge for interview, but I didn't get in there. But I did get into Oxford. I also had the idea of going... Well, the previous year, I guess, I'd applied to lots of new universities.
Mm-hmm.
And because at that time I didn't know that I would stay on to do the Oxford and Cambridge. So I'd been to Warwick. It wasn't open at that time. I would have been in the first intake. I went to East Anglia. I went to Essex. And I went to Sussex.
And those were all for maths, were they?
Yes.
Yes. So
yes.
Nobody had an actual computing undergraduate course.
Not that I was aware of. There might have been one at Manchester in 65, 66, but I didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, at the time when I was in the sixth form, I was thinking I would go to a new university or Oxford, Cambridge, if I was lucky enough to get in. Warwick was very appealing from the maths point of view. I had an interview with Professor David Epstein, who was a young man at that time, and I enjoyed the interview very much, and he gave me a sort of puzzle to do, a maths question, and I don't know if it was true, but he said I was the first person who'd solved it. So, and he really wanted me to go. And I said, well, I'm too young and I'm thinking of applying to Oxford and Cambridge. And he said, oh, I was too young when I went to university. It doesn't matter. So I was quite keen on that. But I looked at Warwick and honestly, there was just one villa and a Nissen hut. And the interviews were in the Nissen hut and it was just a sea of mud. There was nothing. So I thought, well, it's not just about the teaching. There's a social life, cultural life that you want as well, and this is probably not going to happen at Warwick. So I didn't go there. But obviously, I've spent some time there since.
Mm.
And I worked with David Epstein, so that was nice.
Oh, good.
Yes.
So which college at Oxford did you...
I was at Lady Margaret Hall.
Oh, right, so was I.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
Yes, so Parks is quite familiar to both of us. That was because the Maths Institute then was next to the engineering block. It was
in St Giles, top end of St Giles, yes.
Yes, that's right.
Mm.
It's a very splendid new building.
Have you been into the new building?
I have,
yes.
I haven't had an actual tour, but I've just been in, walked around briefly. Mm. Yes.
Thanks to Cray, I think.
Right. Well, it's very fine.
And so your 3 years at Oxford were just the sort of normal maths.
Yes, normal maths, that's right. There was some numerical analysis, but we had to do that using tables. I don't think we had calculators. Didn't use a slide rule, those were for engineers. So I think it was just logs and sums. I wasn't that keen on the numerical analysis. it was a bit dry. And yeah, it didn't appeal to me as much as, say, the algebra and the geometry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, while I was at Marconi's, also we used hand calculators with a
crank
rotor. Yes,
yes.
You could get pretty speedy with them.
Mm. Mm.
Yes, not exactly computers, but related.
So once you were getting towards your finals, what did you think you were going to do next?
Well, like I said in that piece I'd written, I was doing quite a lot of mountaineering at the time with the University Mountaineering Club. So I was, and also I had a very good friend in Norway. I'd spent a lot of time in Norway and done some mountaineering there. And he was a glaciologist, and he went off to Antarctica. And so I thought, oh, that sounds, I'd love to do that. I'd like to become a geophysicist and go to Antarctica. But I was very disappointed to find that women weren't allowed to go there at that time. So I'll bother that. I'll go back and think about computing again, because I did really enjoy that. So I had... I was very lucky that my tutor, Gabrielle Stoy, was... Gabrielle Dickinson, she then was. She was engaged to Joseph Stoy, who was a PhD, a DPhil student in Oxford. And he was working at Programming Research Group. I think it was just being set up at that time.
Yes,
probably.
I think it must have been,
yes.
Yeah.
And he knew about this vacancy that they had for a research assistant to do programming there. So Gabrielle put me in touch with them. And I also, I probably applied to ICL, but I don't remember anything about that. I do remember an interview with Dr. Ab Simon from the IBM Hursley Research Labs. And he, I told him that I'd been offered this job with Christopher Strachey. And he said, well, you should take that job. You know, I'd love you to come, you know, please come to Hursley, but I do advise you to go to PRG and, you know, spend a year or two there and then come back to me if you, you know, want to join IBM.
Mm. So what did you, how much did you know about PRG? What were you able to glean from Gabriel or from the David Ab Simon?
I didn't know anything about it really. Mm. And I can't even remember having the interview with Christopher. I can't remember anything about it, but I think I was keen to stay in Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
My boyfriend at the time he was probably doing the first year of his DPhil in Oxford, so there was that kind of reason to stay. And what with that and... Well, Oxford's a pretty nice place.
Mm, mm.
And this job did sound... Well, I mean, it was programming.
Yes.
I didn't know much more than that, but...
Mm, mm. So when did you start?
I started when I graduated. I probably started in the beginning of September.
69.
Yes. So I was at LMH 66 to 69. I think I went out to the Alps in the summer for about a month or 6 weeks with some friends, did some climbing, and then came back and joined PRG probably beginning of September.
And that was in the building on the corner of Parks Road and St Cross Road, is
that right? No, that was at 45 Banbury Road.
Oh, 45 Banbury, yes, sorry. Yeah.
I don't think they'd been in there very long.
Mm.
And they'd recently taken delivery of a Modular 1 from CTL.
And how did that differ from what you'd had before?
Well, it wasn't punch cards. we had paper tape, so you had flex writers to punch your programs, and the coding was all in BCPL, which was a language that Christopher had developed together with, I forget.
You know, my memory for names is pretty bad now, but...
Don't worry about it, that's the kind of thing people can look up.
Yes. Mm. I think it was developed, it started off as CPL, could have been Cambridge Programming Language, when Christopher was over in Cambridge. It was probably Professor Hoare and Christopher. Anyway, yes, you say that's all quite well documented.
Mm.
But it had been refined or improved, and Joe, I think, was the main person who wrote the bootstraps for it and the compiler. And I think most of the work that I did, certainly in the beginning, was on the compiler, and then it was decided to publish the operating system, which was written in BCPL. So there was quite a lot of work to kind of tidy that up, clean it up, and publish it.
So was there any suggestion that you might do research of your own, or were you there essentially in service to the...
I was a research assistant.
Yes.
Christopher had DPhil students. No.
But did you not think of applying for a DPhil yourself?
No, because I think the route at Oxford was you did an MSc first, and I had entertained an idea of applying to do an MSc, but I'd been discouraged, I think, both by my tutor, and my father wasn't at all keen on the idea. He said I had to go out and earn some money. I don't think I'd have made the grade anyway. I don't think I was a good enough mathematician. I got a second class degree, and in those days they were classified upper second or lower second, but it was a bit informal. And I think I scraped an upper second. I mean, really, to make the grade as a research mathematician, you need to be better than that. I don't regret it. There was research going on, of course. I mean, that was the point of PRG. The computer was there to support the research, but some of the research was abstract, sort of pure computer science. All the Scott Strachey semantic stuff happened while I was there. So there was another research assistant, or possibly two, at different points. One of them was Malcolm Harper, who was a year younger than me. Mm-hmm. I think he joined a year after me. As far as I know, he's still there, though. He might have just retired, but I think he stayed on as administrator, basically. All the DPhil students were men, and Christopher often had a young man who was going to go to Cambridge to do maths and was having his gap year. So we had a succession of young men come through doing that. And the pre-university guy and myself and Malcolm were down in the basement in an office, and the computer, the modular one, was in the next door basement room. Took up the whole room.
And did you? So you didn't have any, I suppose, operators? They would have come.
I mean, it basically ran itself, but. You know, the operating system was Resident. Occasionally, you had to do backups. They used to be on paper tape, but we got some discs at one point, some removable drives. And in order to run the compiler, you had to run it through on paper tape. There were, I think there were about somewhere between four and a half a dozen rolls of paper tape, and each face of the compiler you had to stick it through the reader. But so, yeah, we used to operate it. And the students operated it themselves as well.
Oh, that's interesting. No, I'm just comparing that with Ledley Fox's setup, where from even before when he was first appointed and they barely even bought the computer, he specified the staff that were needed. And they included three girl computers, three non-graduate girl computers. And the late Linda Hayes, who I spoke to yesterday, who seems to have had quite a similar early career to yours, except she was there just a few years earlier.
I remember Linda.
That when she was there, there were still three women who were the operators, called operators by then, who actually ran the programs. Well, she did the programming, and Leslie Fox had the great ideas, but didn't actually have anything to do with handling the computer. Yes, so were you were aware of people like Linda?
I knew Linda.
Yes.
She was probably the only other woman I knew who was working in computing at the time. I didn't know her that well. We didn't have a lot to do with them. I think she worked for the numerical algorithms group. So most of our students weren't particularly interested in numerical algorithms, I don't think. I think there was one who may have gone down there and done stuff, but it was completely sort of different lines of work.
Yes, it was quite a sort of philosophical division, wasn't there, between the numerical analysts and the programming research people. Who were really more, I mean, more linguistic, I suppose. Their approach, is that right?
The NAG people.
No,
the PRG
people.
Yes,
PRG people.
I would say so. Yes, and then, the Scott Strachey stuff took off, and also we had early access through Joe, I think, probably, and Christopher to DARPANET and ARPANET. So we got email fairly early on.
So what was it like? Let's just go into the physical. What was it like as a place of work? You said your office and the computer were in the basement.
Yes.
Did you have the whole house?
Yes. On the ground floor, the front room was research students, and then Christopher had the back office, a big room overlooking the garden, and Molly Phipps had a small office. She was the secretary. She had the office next to him. She became very skilled in typing up technical stuff. She used to use one of those IBM machines with the golf balls.
Oh, yes, yes.
And she had any number of different golf balls, and she was really good at that. I think when she left PRG, she went into typesetting she had one of these at home. She was a great friend of mine. We spent time together. I guess probably the only other woman in the building.
Yes. Naturally, you would grow. And I mean, was there a ladies' loo?
Yes, I think there was.
I know that's something that's been an issue in a lot of workplaces that are very male-dominated. You have to fight hard to get just to get a loo.
No, I think there was. I think Christopher was very sensitive, really.
So what was he, what do you remember about him? What kind of person was he as a boss?
Very good, I would say. Very kind, understanding. I went through one or two rocky times, and he was very understanding about that. Very, obviously, very intelligent, very interested in the practical side of things as well as as the research work that he was doing. Yes, one of the best bosses I've had, I would say.
And who else? So Joe was there.
Joe Stoy was there. He must have got his doctorate soon after I got there, I think. He was Gabrielle's fiancé, so I'd met him before. He was very nice. There was Peter Toy and Mike Robson were the sort of senior DPhil students. Chris Wadsworth, David Turner, who ended up at Kent, professor at Kent, Peter Mosses. So most of them made a very big mark on computing, computer science research. Jones, perhaps. They were a lot of bright people. bright.
And did you enjoy your time there?
Oh yes, very much. I did. I got married while I was there, and eventually my husband, he didn't complete his DPhil. He was he'd done physiology and he did his pathology and bacteriology, and then he was going to be a doctor, medical doctor, when he didn't make it on the research front. And he was from Oldham in Lancashire, and he got his junior house job up in Oldham. So I had to leave BRG.
Right.
Well, so I thought anyway. So I did leave, and I got a job at the University of Manchester Regional Computer Centre.
And that was a computer centre that serviced the university as a whole, was it?
Yes, that's right. And I think other universities in the area, because it was a regional computer centre. My memory's a bit dim now of this, but there was a couple of big mainframes. I think one of them was installed while I was there. I was working on the operations team. I didn't like the job. It was really boring, and it wasn't the job I wanted. I mixed with the programmers, and that was what I wanted to do. I mean, I mixed socially with them. The operations side. I honestly don't know why they'd employed two people. They employed two people at my level on the operations team, and there was nothing to do with it. we weren't in the machine room operating the computers, so I'm still a bit hazy as to why we were there.
Carrying pieces of paper tape from one place to another.
No, I don't know. I seem to remember writing job control stuff in JCO.
Well, there was one thing, sorry, just to go back a minute to PRG. You're acknowledged in a number of Christopher's documents I've seen that he wrote for proofreading. So was that another of your
Well, it must have been.
Yes.
It's such a long time ago now. Proofreading, yes. Well, that was kind of him. I don't remember anything about that.
So you didn't stay long at the Manchester Computer?
No, I fell pregnant and I left. I was quite glad to leave. I could have gone back. I mean, I think it was possible in those days. I know that rules have changed a lot since then, but I three of my friends, we all fell pregnant at the same time and we all left, and then so I had about 3 years off work. two girls, and we moved to Coventry, where my then husband got his first, he'd done all his training at his GP trainee year, and he got a partnership in Coventry. So we moved down here.
And when did you get back into working in computer consultancy and so on?
It was by chance, really. I knew I... When my girls were born fairly close together, so when the younger one was 18 months, I thought I could, you know, I'd really like a part-time job now. I could manage it. Anna must have been about... She would have been three, and she was going to nursery a bit. And I was a member of the babysitting circle, and somebody came to babysit one evening, and I was just chatting to him before we went out. His name was Myrick Bynan, and I said, "Oh, I..." he told me he was working at a computer science department. He was a lecturer in computer science at Warwick, and I said, "Oh, I've done a lot in computing. I'd like to get back into it." And he said, "Oh, we've got a part-time vacancy. Why don't you come along and talk to the head of the department?" So it was really lucky.
Mm.
Again, another lucky thing. And so I got a part-time job as systems programmer at Warwick.
So that was much more the kind of thing you wanted to do.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yes. I really enjoyed it.
Yes. Yes. And what kind of machine were you working on there?
This is probably partly why I got the job. There was a modular one, and there was also a deck VAX. Yeah. One of the VAXes. One of the smaller ones, I think.
Mm.
So the the guys who'd set up the systems had left to set up InMOS, and they'd been using C. Well, that was developed from BCPL, so that wasn't too difficult for me to get into. So really, I was able to maintain the compiler, which needed work. The operating system was something new, but it was a precursor to Linux, so it was one of the early Unixes. Then we moved to Berkeley system, BSD number 6. But it was all, although it was a bit new, it wasn't that unfamiliar to me.
Mm. And
again, I was the only woman in the computer science department, and possibly for the first time at work, I was aware of prejudice.
Oh, how did that manifest itself?
Just remarks, I think. Nothing really overt, but people would comment on your appearance, perhaps, and I didn't think it was appropriate.
So what, I need to just date stamp again quickly.
Yes.
So when
I think I started there in 1979.
Right, okay.
And in my boss was an Australian, a lecturer. He was over here, Bob Buckley, and he decided to go back to Australia. He wasn't, he was much more enlightened than some of the other members of the department. And I decided to apply for his job. And at least one of the lecturers told me not to. Said it was completely inappropriate, and what did I think I was doing? And the job was there for somebody else. So that just made me pretty cross. And they really needed somebody on the practical side. Warwick has always been a really theoretical computer science department. I knew that when if Bob were to leave, they would be in trouble if they didn't get somebody with some good practical skills in.
And this is an academic job. This is a job that would
involve
teaching. Lecturing.
Yes. But also he was teaching. I mean, although it was a very theoretical department and there was emphasis on the theoretical side in the course, they still have to teach the undergraduates how to code. They can't turn out people with degrees in computing who can't code or haven't done any at university. So they needed people to run those courses. And Bob had been doing the core second year courses.
Mm. You hadn't been teaching yourself up to that point?
No, I hadn't. Anyway, I went for it and I got the job.
That's fantastic.
Yes, I was very pleased. Probably a bit scared, but it was fine. Apart from the fact that I was the only woman in the department, and I did feel it. I mean, my head of department, I had repeated arguments with him. He would maintain that women were less good at maths than men. Of course, that made me pretty cross.
And how many women undergraduates did you have coming through?
Very few. Mm. It would usually be... when I started there as a lecturer, I think it was 1982, the computer science intake would have been about 30. And then there were some computer systems engineers as well. They would typically be all men. I mean, I'm sure the figures will be there somewhere. Mm. And out of the 30, I mean, it would just be a few women, just a handful.
Mm.
Not as much as 10, I don't think. So I was pretty aware that, and things seemed to be getting worse, you know, when I looked at the figures, the UCAS applications and entrance figures, you could see downward trend, which was really a shame.
Yes.
Because it had definitely been, you know, programming had been something you could go into as a woman.
Yes.
In the 60s and early 70s, and that seemed to be changing. And didn't seem right to me.
So, 1984, and I remember this well, Women into Science and Engineering Year came along.
Yes.
And that was something you involved yourself with.
Yes, I wanted to do something to try and encourage more girls to apply to Warwick.
And outreach at all wasn't something universities really did up to that point, was it?
No. Certainly, I don't think my department did. I got permission from the head of department to run a week-long course for sixth form girls, and called it Warwick Wise. And I think the first year was fairly successful. You know, we got some of those girls who came along. Some actually came to Warwick. I can't remember how many years we ran it. One year, another of the lecturers took over and did a massive one. Instead of just about 15 or 20, we had over 100, which was sort of some, you know, big number.
Mm.
But we didn't get the corresponding increase in numbers of girls applying.
And was the course specifically aimed at computing, or was it all science and engineering?
No, it was specifically computing.
Yes.
So they had some time. Basically, it was just like snippets of the first year course, so that, but maybe you know, toned down a bit. So they had some time in the labs doing. You know, I don't know whether they still do, but they used to go in the labs and put stuff together. And some programming, probably Pascal, because some years I used to, in addition to doing the second year software engineering, third year compilers, some years I did some first year Pascal, Fortran, I did, and some little language, Unix special languages. I used to do do a bit of that in the first years. So I was able to teach Pascal to beginners.
I forgot to ask if you enjoyed teaching. Did it take to it?
I did to an extent, but the classes eventually got too big. The second year courses became very popular. They probably always had been, but our intake got bigger, and lots of mathematicians came along to these the second year courses, and physics, and then there started being joint honours, physics with computing and maths with computing, and maybe some of the accountancy and finance guys came along. So in the end, I got a second year class of over 100 students, and to run practical courses for that many is incredibly time consuming. And so both running the courses and then trying to grade the work, because it was all submitted programs, it just became a nightmare, frankly. Eventually, I put the undergraduates into teams, and they would do a team project. I mean, that was quite good for them. Mm, they had to learn to work in a team, but a lot of them didn't really like it, you know, because you know they were used to heads down and no talking to anybody. That helped a bit, and I also got third years involved. Could get assistance in, so like debugging, you know, they weren't all knocking on my door to help debug their programs.
So the faculty didn't grow in correspondingly. You didn't have more lecturers to draw on.
Well, I think we did have more lecturers, but they didn't come and do the second year computing programming courses.
Yes.
That was definitely what I was supposed to do. I mean, they were. You know, they were theoretical So yes, I enjoyed it to start with, and the third year I used to do the third year compiler design course. That was okay, but eventually it just seemed it's the same stuff every year. You've got to roll it out, and you know you haven't got room to fit more stuff in. Mm. They've got to get the basics, and. A friend of mine had joined a small firm locally, software house, and he was really enjoying that. And I thought, I'm a square peg in a round hole in this department. They're not interested in the kind of things I'm interested in. I did some research work with David Epstein, programming his some work he had on analysing groups, but it was really difficult. The research assessment exercises were getting worse, and you know I knew that I wasn't performing, you know, I wasn't publishing enough, and it just, I thought, no, I'm going to go back, you know, I'm a practical person. I'm going to go and do the thing I really enjoy most, and I won't have to worry about publishing, and I'll be building software again. So I did that.
So let's have another date.
That would have been 1995, I think. Mm-hmm. It'll be on my CV.
On your CV, yeah.
Yes.
And what was the company called?
It was called Parallax. They're no longer existing.
They come and go, don't they, software companies?
Yes. And there were some women programmers there. I mean, the majority were men, but I would say they were more enlightened than the department I'd been in. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed my time there a lot.
And how long did you stay there?
I think it was about 9 years.
they were brought up. They had a very rocky time financially the last year I was there, and they were bought up by an American company called Keen, big software company. Things changed a lot, and I thought, I'm not enjoying this. I don't have to do this full time. I'd had an operation on my sinus. It had been very painful, and I'd gone part time for a bit because of medical reasons. And I thought, well, that's really, I could do that. So I just chucked it in. We were walking a guide dog puppy. That was quite time consuming. But after about 6 weeks, somebody rang me up and said, well, Julie, we need some help. Can you come? It had been a colleague of mine at Parallax. He'd left, you know, he'd got fed up. He'd set up his own company. And he was doing okay. It was more, you know, it was just two of us in a bedroom.
Mm.
So I did that for a bit.
Did you know, I just wonder whether you were aware of Steve Shirley's company?
Yes, I was. And in fact, when I left my husband, in 1980, I wasn't sure that the job at Warwick University was carrying on at that time, I think, and I looked around for something which wasn't just three afternoons or whatever a week. I thought, I need more money, because I'd left my husband and I had two quite small girls, and we were living in the loft of a friend's house. You know, it was all very unstable. I thought, I need more stability, I need more money. And I was very aware of F International and Steve Shirley, and I did apply, and I was offered a job, but it was going to involve travelling to London and somewhere in Temple Bar. So in the end I decided, and it was, there was some massive COBOL programme, you know, it was about so thick of. And I thought, this isn't the sort of stuff that I'm used to doing. I don't know, maybe the job at Warwick came up, or I negotiated something with the head of department. I forget, but I just carried on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned down the F International job. I can't remember exactly why, but I think that the actual work didn't appeal enough.
Yes, yes.
And the... it was going to be harder for me to fit in with the children.
Mm.
You know, I'd got various childminders and nurseries. And did you have children?
Yes, yes.
And did you struggle with childcare?
I had seven different childcare arrangements before the eldest one started school at five,
yes.
Which I still feel guilty about, but they don't seem to have suffered. So
I think, you know, they're very adaptable.
And
that's what I always say.
I was working at home most
yes.
of the time, so
yes.
they would see me,
yes.
but I would disappear into my study.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so you know the difficulties
yes. Yes.
that you face.
Mm.
Anyway, it all worked out.
Mm, mm, mm. So that's, yes, yeah, so we've got you up to the two-person consultancy you did after you left Parallax.
Yes, that was, the time with Parallax was great, actually. I learnt tons because I hadn't worked. I'd only worked in university departments up till then, and I was in a commercial environment.
Right.
I really enjoyed it
for
quite a long time.
And did you visit clients?
Yes. I worked with one of the partners who was in business development. It was his job to find you work, because basically Parallax was built on a big contract they had with British Leyland or Jaguar Land Rover, whoever at the time, to service the dealers. And they built some software system for the dealers, so this was rolled out all over the country. But that clearly wasn't going to last forever. So my pal
Mark was, he helped set up this firm. He was doing the business development, and he took me, I was the technical guy. So we visited all sorts of people, we got lots of new work. We did some work for Tesco, built their first online system. We did some work for Unwins, I think, wine merchants.
So the work was to analyse the task, what they needed doing, and turn that into software.
Deliver it. So it was sort of start to finish. And so I learnt lots and I really enjoyed it. Where else? Mercedes-Benz Finance, that was a tricky one. Yes, it was very interesting. But it was very demanding and did take me away from home quite a bit. Girls growing up. I was been living with Derek for a while by then. He was very good. You know, he helped a lot with the children. It was very good. He was a teacher at the time. So he had school holidays, that was quite helpful. He's a filmmaker now.
Oh, that's wonderful. Such a skill, isn't it? So have we got to the end? Did you move anywhere else after that? Did you set up on your own account?
I became an independent for a while. Did various jobs, mainly, I mean, I think it was all through contacts. People would ring up, oh, we need such and such. Because I guess I'd made quite a lot of contacts by then. And eventually I joined a company that's based in Leamington called Black Pepper. That was two people who had been at Parallax, but one of them, John Cook, had been a student of mine at Warwick. When Parallax folded and, you know, a lot of us left, they set up their own company, and they rang me up, said, oh, we need some help, can you come and help? So I worked, I contracted for them for a long time, but eventually I joined them as a permie and stayed with them till I retired.
And have you joined any networks of women in computing or women in technology?
No, I haven't. I was going to say I don't know how to. That's pathetic, doesn't it? I'm sure there was something, and I might have made contact with him, but I don't know. Maybe I was too busy, or I don't know.
And you haven't been asked to give talks about your career and about...
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that special, I don't
think. Well, but it's the pioneering aspect of it, I think, that the fact that... I think people have forgotten that there were a lot of women who were involved in quite early in the history of computing.
Yes.
And that, you know, it just gives that message over and over again that this is something women not only can do but are actually rather good at.
Yes.
And that message seems to need repeating over and over again.
Yes. Well, I think you're right. I certainly haven't got time now.
Okay, and that's almost exactly an hour, which is perfect. Thank you very much. Unless there's anything that I haven't asked about that you would like to make an observation about.
Well, I found it a great career. I'm sorry that it doesn't seem to appeal so much to women. I think I can understand it because the culture can be quite difficult. and so much is happening in the homes now, and I don't know how it is in schools. It's really where it has to start.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I hope things will change, that's all.
That's great, thank you.